Matthew chapter 6. We are on the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that he said pray like this, right? It's teaching us how to pray. And we'll read that section. We'll start at Matthew 6, verse 9, and read to verse 13. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It was my hope last week, I wanted to just present the fact that the precedence is really God's glory. I think I had shared with you, when life seems overwhelming, if you take and stop and just take a breath and think of the format of the prayer that Christ gave as an example, he started with God's glory. And honestly, peace comes with that. Great peace. But I wanted that precedent set before we got into the meat of the little peace I have tonight, which is, give us this day our daily bread. And I want you to ponder the thought that I have this week of how many times that it's a plural pronoun used in this little section, in these verses. If you look at it, it's our Father, give us our daily, our debts, we forgive, us not into temptation, and deliver us. It's us and we and our and us and we. And it's all full of the corporate body. And if you stop and you think about it, that's the example Christ is giving us. I mean, we know profoundly that Christ couldn't say, you know, Father, forgive me for my transgression. He didn't have any. We did. So we see that Christ is without sin because he does add us. He includes us, our. It's about corporate. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about I. It's about us. It's about us as a corporate body, as a body of believers praying together for what we need. And doesn't it just fit right in with what the scripture teaches when you look at Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. A lot of anxiety and a lot of problems go away today if we would think more about others and less about ourselves. It fits right in with Acts chapter 2, verse 45, the early church, when they were meeting in the temple. Remember, listening to the apostles' teaching, breaking of bread. In Acts 2:45, it talks about the fact that they sold their things, their possessions, to help provide for the needs of each other. And you stop and think about that. We're like that at Grace. I'm very thankful for the benevolent fund at Grace. We have a benevolent fund that we collect on the weeks that we have our communion. And God has richly blessed that. And we've been able to provide for needs of those in our own body. But it doesn't just stop there. We need to make sure that when we hear about needs, that we're thoughtful of others. You know, we need to take that warning to heart in Proverbs 21:13. Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. That's a warning. It's profound how Christ, in these short little words, that, you know, in the Greek it was six words, profound meaning in the fact that he calls us to be not about ourselves, but about each other. So with that in mind, let's move on to the next things. Give us. He starts out with give. It echoes from James 1:3, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. And everyone needs. Everyone. Don't care how rich you are or poor, you are in need. The only person not in need is God himself. He needs nor wants or has anything that he has to have given to him. Without him, we would have nothing. Nothing. In that, we acknowledge his sovereignty in the fact that give us, we see his sovereign hand and even the gifts we have. I love this quote. You guys have heard it 100 times, right? Right? But by the grace of God go I. I did a little research on that. That came, they believe, from John Bradford, a reformer, kind of like us. 1555. His quote was a little different. And I love the fact that what happened is he saw in a courtroom a man who was convicted and sent to his death for murder. And his quote was a little different, and I didn't write it down exactly, but it's pretty much, "But by the grace of God, go John Bradford." And he wasn't trying to be like the Pharisee who saw the man praying next to him and say, "Oh, God, thank you that I'm not like him." You know, remember the man beating his breast and saying, "Father, forgive me." It wasn't that attitude. It was more the attitude, "Father, if it wasn't for you, I could be that man. You gave us this life that I'm living. Even this life we have right now is the life that God has given us. It's one that we haven't chose. It's one that God has given us as a gift. And we need to acknowledge that we have nothing but dependence on our Father above. Give us. If we go to the next thing, it says this day. Give us this day. I think that one's the easy one, right? We say, well, we can't worry about tomorrow. I mean, everybody says that, right? James 4:4, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. James 4:14a, I cut it short, right? We don't know what tomorrow will bring. God wants us to worry about just what we're doing right now, and we're not even supposed to worry about it. Live in today. Where does anxiety come from? When is it when you can't go to sleep at night because you're sitting there, what? Thinking about tomorrow. Philippians 4:6-7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ this day. If you put yourself in the shoes of the believers at that time when Christ was teaching this, you know, they were looking for a Messiah. Not the suffering servant dying on the cross Messiah. They were looking for the one who would oust the Romans, bring back their culture. Think about their anxiety. It had to be pretty high. They were thinking, we're losing our culture to the Romans. We're losing our children to these paganistic beliefs. We're losing everything about our worship. Everything that's going on in our country is disintegrating. Their anxiety was high. But Jesus calls them back by this little prayer of this day. We do have a God who cares for us. And we're called out to not be like the godless. Matthew 6:31-34 says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall I eat? Or where shall I drink? Or what shall I wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. What's God say here? He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Guys, we have enough to do to take care of today. Tomorrow will come, and we'll take care of that with God's help. Our daily bread, the next section. You know, I think I mentioned this last week. When the Hebrews heard this phrase from Christ's lips, give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread was a colloquial saying that meant, give me my food, my clothing, and my shelter. They knew what that meant. It wasn't like it was, oh, give me a loaf of bread, okay? It wasn't that. It was, give us our needs. Lord, provide for me. The acknowledgement of that provision. But at the same time, a Hebrew would have heard those words bread, and it echoed back to Moses, and it echoed back to the manna. And if you look at Exodus chapter 16, it talks about the fact that God provided manna. And the way that God provided manna was amazing. In the fact that It was a daily occurrence, and they were not to take more than what they needed for that day. Doesn't it echo? Don't worry about tomorrow. Take what you need this day. They would have that in their mind, and this bread, it said it looked like coriander seed, but when they ground it and milled it, it had a hint of honey taste in it. It was sweet. God's great provision. But on the Sabbath day, on the day of preparation, they could take two, right? We know that. They took two so that they could rest on the Sabbath. But in an Israelite's mind and a Hebrew at the time of Christ, they would have heard that bread would have been for their personal need, and they also would have been thinking about Moses. And the Israelites had a name for that bread, that manna. They called it the bread from heaven. Nehemiah echoes that in Nehemiah 9:15 when he says, "You provided bread from heaven." And that's a foreshadow, we know. We know what that's about. I love this verse that I found while I was doing my study on this. God used that manna for a purpose. He used it for a purpose. Deuteronomy 8:3 says, "He humbled you and he let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Isn't it profound? God allows us to have needs so that we can come to him, so we can be humble. You know, pride and arrogance will teach you the opposite. Pride and arrogance will tell you, "I don't need God, I'm a self-made man." There's no such thing as a self-made man. And pride and arrogance will keep you from coming to the Savior because you'll say, "I don't need a Savior. I'm righteous. I'm good." You know, I've had people, family members and others, who have said, "I'm good with God." Really? It's a prideful statement. "I'm only good with God because Christ has made me so." And the fact that God said in Deuteronomy, "Man does not live by bread alone," we know that what that echoes to. These tie together. God cares about our daily need. He cares about what we truly need. But let's be honest, okay? You know, this past week I taught on Philippians, and one of the things we taught on was the kenosis, the emptying of Christ, really more of the taking on of humanity. And it makes you think about the fact that our Heavenly Father sent His Son eternal and took on mortality, in a sense, took on that humanity. And in these verses that we read here, "Give us this day our daily bread," I see both. I see temporal need for bread. I see the temporal need for, "I need food, Lord. I need clothing. I need shelter. I'd like to provide for my family." But I also see the deity in it, in Christ. And the fact that it's talking and echoing everlasting bread. When we really take our mindset off of the here and now, and not thinking about tomorrow, but thinking about eternity, when we have an eternal mindset, when we think of it with an eternal viewpoint, what does man truly need? When God says, "I will provide for all your needs," what does man truly need but Jesus Christ? In John 6:32-33, it says, Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." In John 6:35, just right after that, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Folks, when he writes these, when he spoke these words and the people around heard it, "Give us this day our daily bread," he lived those next years of his life to show them he was the bread from heaven. In Matthew 22, it says, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. It's an echo of John 6:35. It's just repeated. And I've always been told, if something's repeated in the scripture, you better pay attention. Jesus is the bread of life. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, I'm praying for Jesus daily. I want Jesus daily. Yes, I need the food. Yes, I need the clothing. Yes, I need the shelter. But really, I need Jesus more than all of that. I ask you in just closing, have you taken that bread? Have you thought about the fact that you will not sustain your life? Without the bread of life, you will die. Without Christ, you will die. You will have an eternal death, or you can have eternal life by taking of the bread from heaven. Follow me in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for tonight. God, I thank you for the profound words of Jesus Christ. God, that in just so many short, small statements, how profound his teaching is. And God, it just shows to his glory that you gave him before everything existed. God, that he had with you eternally, not that you gave him, but he had it. And God, we just praise you for the life that Christ lived on this earth, that he is our bread from heaven. And God, that he is all we need. God, we live in a world today where all that could be taken away in a minute. If our government shifts or anything shifts in this world, we could be without food and clothing and shelter. And God, we just pray that we would be found in you. Because ultimately, all we need, God, is you. And we praise you for the gifts that you've given us. The fact that we would not have life if you had not given it. That we would not have our food and our clothing and shelter if you had not chosen to give it to us, Lord. We acknowledge your sovereignty in all things, your wisdom in all things, that your purpose and your plan will not be thwarted. We thank you for the words of Christ in this prayer. In Jesus' name.